Welcome back to the second hour of Issues Etc. I'm Mark Sell, sitting in for the vacationing Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live on this Thursday afternoon, February the 17th, for the next 2 hours. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Today we're going to be, the first hour, we're going to be looking at the question of common cup or individual cups. That'll be open lines. We'll be listening to a news story that took place this past week, which talked about the transmission of diseases through the common cup or the chalice. And we'll be taking your phone calls to see what you prefer and talk that over a little bit. That'll be for the first hour. Then in the second hour, we'll be turning to Dr. Adolf Harsted. Dr. Harsted, he's a professor of Old Testament theology at Bethany Lutheran Seminary in Mankato, and he's the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua. This will be part three of a four-part series on the Book of Joshua. Today, in that first half hour of the second hour, we will be talking about the Lord allots the land inheritance to Israel. Then in that second half hour of the second hour, beginning at 5:30, we will be talking to a regular guest, Mr. Wesley Smith. Wesley Smith is an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. He's also the senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, and he has authored several books, including his latest, A Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. With Wesley Smith, we'll be talking two issues. First, we'll get an update on the euthanasia case of Terry Schindler Schiavo. That's the case in Florida, which has been in the news lately. And then we'll talk a little bit about human cloning and see what he has to say about that. So that's our lineup for today. I thought I'd just take a second to let you know a little bit about me. I have been a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for about 14 years, a little over 14 years. I served in Utah for about 8.5 years, and then in Michigan, in a northeast suburb of Detroit. Then I received a call to Concordia Publishing House. I'm currently a senior editor of academic, professional, and consumer books. And for the most part now, taking my turn in the church's administration as we publish books. And I have theological oversight of many of the books that CPH does. And it's a different calling, and someday I'll looking forward to get back to the parish, though. So this first topic that we're looking at is a topic that was something I dealt with quite often as a parish pastor. My first congregation that I went to did not have a common cup at all. They had no chalice. And so we served communion out of the individual cups, those little usually plastic or glass cups, where someone would pick it up and take a drink of the body, blood of Christ, and set it back down. And it wasn't for about 4 years before we got the common cup. And boy, did that raise a lot of questions. There were a lot of concerns with that. In my second congregation, we had both the common cup and the little individual cups, and we offered both. But boy, there were all kinds of questions that people had there as well, especially in these days where we hear about different kinds of diseases being passed around and during the flu season. Now, I don't know if you happened to see Fox 2 News last Sunday night, but they did a report on the transmission of the flu virus when receiving the Lord's Supper. Now, what we're going to do in a couple seconds here, we're going to listen to this report, and then we're going to open up the phone lines, and I want to know, which do you use? Do you use common or the individual cup? Let me know which one you use and why. Give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you might just want to react to something that you hear in this Fox 2 News story. So feel free to let us know on those two questions. Which do you use? And do you have any reaction to this Fox 2 News story? Again, call us at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're live for the next 2 hours. So here we go. We're going to take a listen to this story from Fox 2 News. Again, it's about the transference of communicable disease, mostly during the flu season. And it was a very interesting report. So let's go ahead and take a listen to that.
First, there was a flu shot shortage, then the apathy about even getting one.
And now the number of flu cases is starting to rise quickly, all of which made us wonder about the safety of something thousands do every week, sharing a drinking cup at communion. Tonight in the Fox Files, Paul Shankman with the facts, the fiction, and the faith.
It is among the most sacred of Christian rituals.
It's about the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Holy Communion, sometimes referred to as celebrating the mystery, is a bit of a mystery to some of the faithful during the flu season.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I generally don't drink the wine because I just don't like to drink out of a cup that a whole lot of people been drinking out of.
I've never really been worried about catching anything from the Holy Communion.
Many believe because there is alcohol in the wine and because the rim is wiped off between each drink, there is no reason to worry. But the head of the St. Louis County Health Department says there are legitimate concerns.
Oftentimes, if people are eating from the same plate or drinking from the same cup, viruses and bacteria can be transferred that way.
Would having alcohol in the cup change that?
Not necessarily. It's still a medium for transfer.
And would wiping the rim change that?
It has an effect, but not to an extent. It still has a risk factor.
It isn't a wafer, and it isn't that little cup. It turns into a supernatural, spiritual thing. So you don't have to worry about that.
We met many parishioners like Helen Harris, who say because both the wine and the wafers are holy, they believe catching something from taking communion is impossible. The bishop at the Cathedral Basilica carries that idea even further.
I myself don't at that moment fear that something might happen to me because I feel the Lord's going to take care of me. And even if I should get a disease and die, I'm with the Lord, so who loses?
There are, of course, other options offered by other churches. Here at St. John's Lutheran in Arnold, parishioners are given a choice. Parishioners here have the option of receiving the wine in small disposable cups.
I would probably say somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 75% probably take the individual cups.
In fact, we found most of the folks here still drinking from the communal cup were older worshipers who are theoretically at a higher risk for getting the flu.
The health thing is an issue.
You feel safer drinking from the smaller cups.
Right, exactly. Yeah, more so today than years ago.
The Archdiocese of St. Louis is concerned as well. In November, the Archbishop issued a memo saying anyone who is ill or worried about becoming ill can skip the wine since they will still receive the whole Christ by taking just the wafer.
I think I just have never really had any fears about contracting anything here.
For medical reasons or religious reasons?
You know, it just never even entered my consciousness. Yeah. I think the Lord will provide.
The Centers for Disease Control has looked at these questions as well, and its conclusion is the risk of contagion is so small it is nearly undetectable, at least as far as the flu goes. The CDC does not track cases of the common cold.
Now, Paul, you talked about the growing concerns about people sharing the cup, but what about taking the communion wafer directly in your mouth from the priest's hands?
Well, we checked. There's really no data on that, but as Dr. Gunn said from St. Louis County, that there's always a risk of transmission when you're talking about anything going from hand to mouth. But one thing we noticed at all the churches we visited is we saw a lot of people, probably most of the people, taking the communion right in their hands.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
All right. There you have it, the Fox 2 News report on using the common cup and the fears that some people have about maybe transmitting the flu or other sicknesses. The rest of the hour now is for you. We're live here on Thursday, February 17th, and we'd like for you to call in at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, which do you use? A common cup, the chalice, or do you use an individual cup, and why? I know sometimes people have different reasons and will switch between the two, depending upon maybe whether they're feeling sick, or sometimes they just prefer to use the chalice because of the language there. But anyway, it's something that that I'm sure you've had to think about and something that you've had to decide. So the individual cup and why, give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, maybe you were listening to the Fox News report and you heard something that kind of sparked your interest. I mean, there were different views that were spoken of in there. And you might just want to report to us, let us know what caught your ear in that report. So give us a call at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and let us know what you think about this issue. It really is a very sensitive issue because people, of course, take the Lord's Supper very seriously, and it's in a very personal time that they feel with their Lord. So we're interested in hearing what you have to say. We're going to go ahead now, and we're going to look at who we have on the board here. We've got from South County. Chuck from South County, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Chuck.
Hi.
So what are your thoughts about common cup or the individual cups? What are you thinking this afternoon?
Well, I prefer common cup.
Okay.
My wife and I have gone to different churches, been members of different Lutheran churches, and they've had common cup and the little cups, but I prefer the common cup, and I've always believed in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm getting a little emotion here. Sorry.
Sure.
He's my Lord and Savior, and I think if I drink His blood, which I believe it is, I'm drinking. Mm-hmm. I don't think He's going to let me get sick.
Okay.
And that's my belief, and I know a lot of people don't believe that, or I don't know how they believe, but that's my belief in it. Like that one person said on the TV show that they believe in Jesus Christ also, and that's His blood, and she ain't going to get sick. And that's what I believe. Mm-hmm. I just don't think the Lord's going to let me get sick taking His blood and eating
sure.
His flesh.
Sure. Let me ask you something, Chuck, though.
Sure.
Does your church offer both the chalice and the individual cups, or how does that work at your church?
Well, the church my wife and I were going to did not. But
okay.
We are in the process of changing churches, and the church that we're going to now, they do have both. They have the common
okay.
cup and the little cup.
Okay, and I was wondering, when they do that, is it they offer one and that goes by first and then
yes.
come by with the chalice later,
yes,
so
sir.
To speak? Okay.
That's
okay,
how they
great.
Do it.
Well, good. Well, thanks a lot for calling in, Chuck. I appreciate your
thank
two
you,
cents
sir.
On this.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Okay, now, we just heard from Chuck in South County. We appreciate his thoughts, and we're interested to hear what the rest of you might be thinking about this. I know many congregations have had to deal with this. Sometimes you don't have a chalice, and you only serve the individual cups. And then there are some churches who have only the individual cups and no chalice. And in those situations, you really don't have a choice, do you? But what is your preference? If you had your choice, what would your preference be? So please give us a call. Those call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We are live now. I'm Mark Sell. I'm filling in for Todd Wilkin, who's on vacation this week. And for the next 2 hours, I will be doing my best to fill his shoes. Now we're going to turn to Monica. Monica is in Swansea. What
yeah.
do you have to say, Monica?
Okay, couple things. This morning I was watching the Today Show, and they were doing a program on all these people who are getting sick on holiday cruises. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if you've noticed, but there's been a lot of reporting about people. In fact, my mother-in-law spent 2 days in the infirmary on a cruise last week because she had gotten ill. And the discussion was about where the germs tend to come from. And the conclusion of the Today Show was, this is from your hands. So washing your hands constantly was the issue. The more you wash your hands, the safer you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I say this is I can't understand the logic in people thinking they're safer in those individual cups. When the chalice is filled, the elder or the pastor will hold the chalice at the neck of the chalice
mm-hmm.
and from the flagon pour in the wine, correct?
Right.
Okay, not necessarily anybody's hand touching the edge of that cup.
Mm-hmm.
But I have watched the altar guild and the elders with the individual cups. Someone touches every single one of those little cups with their fingers, puts it in the dispenser. Then that person has been in church shaking hands, touching pews, turning knobs, and then they're putting their dirty hand on the edge of the cup and putting it to their mouth. So the logic to me, if it's a thing about being ill, and I agree with what Chuck just said, my Lord's not going to give me his blood and have it cause me any harm unless I'm taking it wrongly, and that's a whole other discussion.
Right, right.
Has nothing to do with germs. So this is why I find this a mystery, that people feel that they're safer taking this individual cup when our Lord passed one cup around the table to his disciples.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Well, thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you. Well, Monica had an excellent point there. I know a lot of times when we would serve the individual cups, a lot of times when you grab that little glass or that plastic individual cup, how do you grab that? And a lot of times they take your thumb and your finger and you grab the top of it. And there's an opportunity then for the germs to be spread from your hand to the lip of that, even that little common cup. So I think she makes an excellent point there. How many hands touch those little individual cups as well? Good for you, Monica. Good thinking. Now, we want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to get in on this. So if you want to give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, we're talking about the common cup or the chalice and individual cups. When you participate in the Lord's Supper, when you participate in that body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that he brings to us for the forgiveness of sins, do you prefer to use the chalice or do you prefer to use the individual cups? We're really interested in what you have to say. We thought about this because this past Sunday there was a report on Fox 2 News that spoke about the common cup especially, and especially during flu season. Just what is it that might be the chances of transmitting the flu at a time like this? So we thought this would be something great to talk about. I know it's been on people's minds before, and as a pastor, I heard it quite often. So give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's turn now to a car phone. Diana is in her car. Diana, what are you thinking about on this topic?
Well, first of all, my church gives both. They come around with the common cup first, and then they bring the individual cups around. And I generally use the common cup. I think that's the more proper thing to do, although I do switch back and forth. I'll use the individual cups when I'm feeling sick so that I don't transmit something to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really worried that, I mean, if you're going to get the flu, you're going to get the flu, and you can get it from any place, and how would you even know where it came from? I'm not worried about getting it from the common cup.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your two cents on that. All right. Let's, I think what we need to do is remember that this is such a sacred act when we participate in the Lord's Supper, and I know it's something that's very personal. It's something that people take very seriously when they participate in the Lord's Supper, and this is a great thing. When I lived out west, it really came up quite often because out west, it seemed even more than the Midwest, there was always concern about the communication of diseases through the common cup. We had an active homosexual community where I lived in Utah. And I know they're one of the first things that came up was, can you get AIDS from the common cup? And my parishioners were very worried about that because you simply don't really know. But so there are a lot of concerns that I think people have when they deal with this question and they realize that the chalice is going to go from the person next to you as it touches his or her lips and then your lips. And even though they're wiping the rim and those kinds of things and doing their best to turn the chalice, I know there's a lot of concerns. So let us know what you're thinking. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Mark Sell, sitting in for the vacationing Todd Wilkin. We have open lines for the rest of this hour, so feel free to call in. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-273-8527. Again, I'm Mark Sell, sitting in for vacationing Todd Wilkin. We have open lines, and we're live today. This is Thursday, the 17th of February, and we'll turn now to Paul in New Mel. Paul, what do you have to say about this?
Hi, Mark. It's Paul Schaum. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you, Paul.
I was really surprised to hear the comments, especially from the person from the St. Louis County Infection Control Department. I've spoken on this issue for a number of years and discussed it on the internet at length and with the CDC. The common cup is actually the safest mode of receiving communion. The individual cup is the second least safest method to use, and intinction is the worst. But at the bottom line, there's very little chance of transmitting disease. For one thing, the metals used in the chalice tend to be what they call bacteriostatic, not to mention the impact of the wine.
Could you explain what you mean by bacteriostatic? That's interesting.
It does not support survival of bacteria or other organisms such as viruses. Okay. And years ago, I had confirmed this with the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, and they had written to me, and after a while, this question kept on coming up so often that they created a standardized response for this. But years back, and I'm talking probably closer to 10 years, they stated that those people making claims that the chalice was a vector of disease transmission should use their time to more profitable use. And okay. I know some of the writing that I've done on the subject used to be online. As a matter of fact, from CTS Fort Wayne, I used to have it online. But it's really a non-issue. People have brought it up. I can appreciate the concern, but one should get their facts together first before making such injudicious statements as the person did from the county. They should familiarize themselves with CDC data before, well, you know, before they speak.
Sure. Well, you know what was interesting, Paul, is because I sort of caught that in the interview as you listen to the local people and then you listen to the CDC, and the CDC sure sounded like there was hardly, you know, that the chances were very minute. And I thought that was interesting to listen to them. So you had a great point there, Paul, and I sure appreciate you calling in to issues, et cetera. All right. I'm Mark Sell, filling in for Todd Wilkin today on Issues, Etc. We're live. Please give us a call on the topic of common cup or individual cup. Which do you prefer? 505-7850 is our number, along with 1-800-730-2727. Give us a call during this break.
Defending the faith. Teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The entire Old Testament book of Joshua is built upon a promise that God made in the book of Genesis to Abraham to give his descendants the promised land. But is there more to this promise and to the book of Joshua than simply the land of Israel? How should we rightly understand the book of Joshua in light of Jesus Christ? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on Joshua. The book is $42.99 plus shipping and handling. Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Terry Phillips, sitting in for Bob Dittmer. With U.S. debt continuing to soar, there's a new move afoot to cut wasteful spending in the federal government. It's been tried before, but now some feel it has to happen. Keith Peters reports from Washington.
Members of the Senate, Congress, and the White House got together to push for what they call significant cuts in federal spending. Senator Sam Brownback is reintroducing legislation that would establish the Commission for Accountability and Review of Federal Agencies.
And a commission reviews for duplication of programs, for wasteful spending, or maybe we started a federal program and it actually accomplished its purpose and needs to end.
Congressman Kevin Brady says this idea has been used in 24 states across the country, including his home state of Texas, with what are called sunset commissions that pull the plug on programs that have outlived their usefulness.
Over the years, we have eliminated 44 state agencies, saved about $750 million.
And he's convinced that Washington needs to implement these reviews in order to reduce budgets and debt. Clay Johnson of the Office of Management and Budget says they're trying to focus on whether a program is successful or not.
The key is that there's a formal commitment to results, that Congress joins with the executive branch in saying results matter.
Sam Brownback believes the federal government has to get a grip on spending.
We need to get the federal budget balanced. We can't hand over to our future generations a deficit of such size and magnitude, and it's not fair, it's not right for one generation to do that to the next.
Brownback is scheduled to reintroduce his bill in the Senate in the near future. For Family News in Focus, I'm Keith Peters in Washington.
Johnson says a White House study of federal programs showed that 40% could not show that they were producing results. There is a provision in next year's federal budget similar to the legislation proposed by Brady and Brownback. For Family News in Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
Mornings on AM 850 KFUO offer you a Christian way to start your weekday. Hi, I'm Paul Clayton, inviting you to hear your inspirational Christian favorites, great guests, and the information you need to prepare you for the road ahead. And after the morning show at 9:30, stick around for Focus on the Family on AM 850 KFUO.
Israel's conquest of the Holy Land comes alive in our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this commentary on our website, issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Joshua, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Mark Sell. I'm sitting in for the vacationing Todd Wilkin. I'm sure he's having a good time this week, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to fill in for him. We're having a good time here. We're talking about a very important topic here for those churches that celebrate the Lord's Supper, which I believe is most churches. People, when they participate, a lot of times they have a choice between taking a common cup or a chalice or individual cups. Well, we're taking your phone calls. We have an open line for the rest of this hour until 5 o'clock. Those numbers are 505-7850. That's 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Give us a call and let us know what you think about whether or not you prefer to take the common cup or the individual cup, and let us know. Also, in a few minutes, we'll be listening to a clip from Fox 2 News this past Sunday night, where they had a little bit of they had a little clip on there concerning the common cup and the chalice and the communicable disease problem, wondering can the flu be passed when you participate in the chalice, and they interviewed some people. So we'll be listening to that in a couple of minutes. But one of the things that that makes the Lord's Supper so important is because it's something that people take very seriously. And when we talk about the Lord's Supper, it's the gathering of the body of Christ as a whole. I know a lot of times people have a spin on this because the Lord's Supper is such a personal issue, quote unquote. But I think we always need to remember that although it's something we take very emotional, that is very emotional to us and we take very personally, it doesn't mean that the Lord's Supper is just your personal choice. We realize that the Lord's Supper is never just between you and God. The Lord's Supper is always between you, God, and the church, if you will. It's a confession also of what we believe. It's a confession of who Jesus Christ is. It's a confession of how he comes to us and forgive us. So this this understanding the Lord's Supper, as important as it is to every individual, which is a comforting, forgiving moment that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also just as important to remember that this is something that the church does together that makes us one, the body of Christ, one with our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very important thing, and even though it is something that's serious, when we talk about it being personal, we don't mean that it's only between me and Jesus, so it's nobody else's business. But this is something that we're interested in hearing just exactly what you think about it. So give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let us know what you think, common cup or individual cup. What is your choice? Also, just a reminder, coming up tomorrow, we will be talking about, again, the Book of Joshua with A.D. Harstad. That is the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month. The Book of Joshua. We will be talking about, we will also be talking with Dr. Andrew Steinman. He'll be a guest from Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois. His topic will be Scripture Alone. Dr. Steinman is author of several different books, including an Aramaic book and Oracles of God, a book about the Old Testament. He's quite an interesting fellow to hear and very well versed in Scripture. So that's tomorrow, coming up tomorrow, the Book of Joshua and Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University, River Forest, on Scripture Alone. Also, we'll be talking with James White tomorrow of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So tune in tomorrow to Issues, Etc. I'm Mark Sell. I'm filling in for Todd Wilkin, who's on vacation this week. Give us a call and let us know what you think. Common cup or individual cup, as you participate in the gathering of the body of Christ in the Lord's Supper. What is your preference? Now, what I'll do is I'll take a call now from a car phone. Jim, what are your thoughts on this?
I've always used the common cup, and I have very good health, and I figure that that is the way it was started, and I figure it is good enough for me, and I've never used the individual cup.
Okay. All right. Now, but your church, does it offer
both? Yes, it does offer both.
Okay. All right. And you've always chosen to take the common cup. Do you have any other, would you like to explain a little bit further why that's so important to you?
I think that was the original way that Christ gave it to us, and I think that's the way he wanted us to do it. That's the way I've always done it.
Okay. All right. No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, I sure appreciate your 2 cents on that, Jim. Thanks for calling in.
Sure.
All right. Have a safe trip home. All right. What we'd like to do now is turn to the Fox 2 News report from this past Sunday night. And what it is a little piece on the Common Cup, and it talks to the various parishioners from different churches about what they think about the Common Cup and whether or not they're afraid that they're going to get sick to it. So let's take a listen to that piece now.
First, there was a flu shot shortage, then the apathy about even getting one.
And now the number of flu cases is starting to rise quickly, all of which made us wonder about the safety of something thousands do every week, sharing a drinking cup at communion. Tonight in the Fox Files, Paul Shankman with the facts, the fiction, and the faith.
It is among the most sacred of Christian rituals.
It's about the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Holy Communion, sometimes referred to as celebrating the mystery, is a bit of a mystery to some of the faithful during the flu season.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I generally don't drink the wine. because I just don't like to drink out of a cup that a whole lot of people have been drinking out of.
I've never really been worried about catching anything from the Holy Communion.
Many believe because there is alcohol in the wine and because the rim is wiped off between each drink, there is no reason to worry. But the head of the St. Louis County Health Department says there are legitimate concerns.
Oftentimes, if people are eating from the same plate or drinking from the same cup, viruses and bacteria can be transferred that way.
Would having alcohol in the cup change that?
Not necessarily. It's still a medium for transfer.
And would wiping the rim change that?
It has an effect, but not to an extent. It still has a risk factor.
It isn't a wafer, and it isn't that little cup. It turns into a supernatural, spiritual thing. So you don't have to worry about that.
We met many parishioners like Helen Harris, who say because both the wine and the wafers are holy, they believe catching something from taking communion is impossible. The bishop at the Cathedral Basilica carries that idea even further.
I myself don't at that moment fear that something might happen to me because I feel the Lord's going to take care of me. And even if I should get a disease and die, I'm with the Lord, so who loses?
There are, of course, other options offered by other churches. Here at St. John's Lutheran in Arnold, parishioners are given a choice. Parishioners here have the option of receiving the wine in small disposable cups.
I would probably say somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 75% probably take the individual cups.
In fact, we found most of the folks here still drinking from the communal cup were older worshipers who are theoretically at a higher risk for getting the flu.
The health thing is an issue.
You feel safer drinking from the smaller cups.
Right, exactly. Yeah, more so today than years ago.
The Archdiocese of St. Louis is concerned as well. In November, the Archbishop issued a memo saying anyone who is ill or worried about becoming ill can skip the wine since they will still receive the whole Christ by taking just the wafer.
I think I just have never really had any fears about contracting anything here.
For medical reasons or religious reasons?
You know, it just never even entered my consciousness. Yeah. I think the Lord will provide.
The Centers for Disease Control has looked at these questions as well, and its conclusion is the risk of contagion is so small it is nearly undetectable, at least as far as the flu goes. The CDC does not track cases of the common cold.
Now, Paul, you talked about the growing concerns about people sharing the cup, but what about taking the communion wafer directly in your mouth from the priest's hands?
Well, we checked. There's really no data on that, but as Dr. Gunn said from St. Louis County, that there's always a risk of transmission when you're talking about anything going from hand to mouth. But one thing we noticed at all the churches we visited is we saw a lot of people, probably most of the people, taking the communion right in their hands.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
You're listening to Issues Etc. We're live today. This is Thursday, February the 17th, and we have an open lines hour here until 5 o'clock. Give us a call on what you think about communion and when you participate in taking a chalice or the individual cups. Call us at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Again, that's 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We just heard a report from Fox 2 News Local from Sunday night, and they talked about participating in the Common Cup and whether or not you might get sick from taking that, especially during flu season, let's say. And are people worried about that? Are you concerned about that? Do you think as you participate in the blood of Christ and the body of Christ that the person takes the chalice next to you and then the pastor hands it to you, that you might get sick from that? Or does that not worry you at all and you participate anyway? So let me know what you think. Call us at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll turn now to Will, who's in St. Louis. Will, what are your thoughts on this? Common cup or individual cups? What's your preference, and let us know why.
When the Lord Jesus instituted the Holy Supper, there were only 13 people there so that a common cup could be used very easily. And in the teaching of the church, much emphasis can be put on a common cup. Now, the wafers, if only taken by mouth, and one individual distributes them, how much chance is there for contamination? Then, on the other hand, the words of institution read, take ye, drink all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say what container is used.
Okay. That's an excellent point, Will. I appreciate your thoughts on that. And that is a good point. The scripture there, it does not mandate. It doesn't say you must use a chalice. You must use a cup. And don't anybody dare do anything different. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. The Lord is clear that you take, that you eat, that you drink. I would have to agree with Will there. It doesn't command the use of a chalice or a common cup. And that's something that we probably need to think very seriously about. But, okay, we're at... You're listening to Issues, Etc. We have an open line for the next 15 minutes until 5 o'clock here. This is Issues, Etc. I'm Mark Sell. I'm sitting in for the vacationing Todd Wilkin. Give us a phone call and let us know what you think about whether you prefer to use a common cup or you prefer to use the individual cups when you participate in the Lord's Supper. Give us a call at 505-7850. Again, that's 505-7850 for our local listeners. Also, if you want to call us at 1-800-730-2727, that's 1-800-730-2727. And we're talking about the Lord's Supper and how you participate in it, whether you use individual cups or the common cup. Now we'll turn to, St. Louis County. And let's listen to Lois, and what do you think about this topic, Lois? Lois, are you there? I appreciate you waiting for us, Lois. Lois, you might want to turn your radio down. It sounds like you might be hearing that in the background.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you get a chance to turn your radio down?
Yes, I did.
Okay, great. Thanks for waiting. I appreciate it, Lois. What are your thoughts about this topic?
Well, Pastor, I would take from either one. It doesn't really matter to me. I don't think God cares what kind of a utensil his blood is delivered in. It's really his blood and his body that are important, and I think that's what we should concentrate on. So it really doesn't make any difference to me which one I take it from.
Okay. Does your church offer both?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, which one do you usually take from?
Well, it's from both.
Okay.
What I usually take from, I mean, it depends on the service, I guess. You
sure.
Know, and I don't even think about that.
Okay.
You know, it's just...
Well, that's...
I just think we should concentrate on what's inside the container and on the bread, which is the body of Christ, and not worry about the pastor's hands or
sure,
anything
sure.
like that.
Well, I think those are some good thoughts there, Lois, and I appreciate your phone call.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, Lois.
Yes, you're welcome.
We'll talk to you later. Now, Lois has a good point there. She talks about wanting to focus on what is in the chalice, namely the wine, and in with and under that wine, you've got the blood of Christ, because Jesus said that this is the cup of the New Testament poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. So it is the blood of Christ. And that's the important thing. And the purpose of this is for the forgiveness of sins. And the forgiveness of sins is actually given in the Lord's Supper. And I think Lois's point there was that's what's really important. The grace, the forgiveness, the resurrected presence of the body and blood of Christ. Those are the important issues when you go to the Lord's Supper. It's important that you're participating with all the communicants, all the members of your church, and it's confessing to the world that this church believes that this is the resurrected body and blood of Christ, and that we are receiving the forgiveness of sins, and we are the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of Christ. So I think she has a great point there. Good for her. Now, let's go to In a second here, we'll go to a car phone. But before that, let me remind everybody, we're open lines now for the next 10 minutes. Give us a call on Common Cup or Individual Cups. I'm Mark Sell. I'm sitting in for the vacationing Todd Wilkin. Give us a call and let us know what you think on this topic. And now we'll turn to a car phone. Carol, in the car in your car.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Carol. What are your thoughts on this topic?
I always prefer to use a common cup.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I have never had any concerns about any diseases or anything, but I've always wondered about one thing, and I don't know if it's ever been documented. I attended a Lutheran church in Louisiana, and they had non-alcoholic wine set aside in the middle of the tray with the individual cups for, like, people recovering from alcoholism or mm-hmm. who were taking medication that couldn't drink alcohol at that time. And I was wondering if, because in my mind it's like, it is holy, it is sacramental, you know, this is the Lord's body. I wonder if there's ever been any documented instance where people have gotten sick because they did drink that wine for those reasons, either they were recovering alcoholic on antabuse or on medication.
Right. And that's a good question, Carol. I've often wondered that myself. Many times as a pastor, people will tell me, well, my doctor said, Pastor, that I shouldn't participate. I shouldn't drink any alcohol, I mean. And so does that mean I can't take the blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper? I've often said, no, usually that doesn't mean that. I was also a hospice chaplain and worked with the medical community rather closely for about 6 years. And there are some very serious medications that people who are suffering from cancer, and you combine chemo treatment and those kinds of things. And the oncologist always said the Lord's Supper was never a concern. Participate. If it is wine, don't worry about that. And so I shared that message from the oncologist often with many of my parishioners, not to worry about that part of it. They're usually talking, don't sit down and have two or three beers. But anyway, we're talking about the Lord's Supper and participating in the common cup or the individual cup. Give us a call and tell us what you think at 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727. I'm Mark Sell, sitting in for Todd Wilkin, who's on vacation this week, and we're talking about the Lord's Supper and whether you prefer common cup or the individual cup. Let's turn now to High Ridge and talk to Claire. Claire, what are your thoughts about the common cup or participating in the individual cups?
Well, I just heard your clip from Channel 2 News, Pastor Sell, and I'm questioning whether or not the individual who spoke from St. Louis Public Health Net, what their credentials are for actually answering the question for the news service. But I have another take on the thought here, and that is when we go out to eat, be it IHOP or any place else, and you get dishes that have other food on it from a previous person, or glasses that are dirty, and all the glasses that you get to replace it are still dirty like that. How many people get up and leave, or just say, oh, let it go, and I'll stay here and finish the meal?
Mm-hmm.
That you, no matter where we go, we may not always be getting clean, sanitized, perfect for health utensils, and everybody's making an issue of something that God said he's not going to allow any man to corrupt.
Right, right. Well, Claire, thank you very much for your thoughts. You know, boy, this is a topic that I think, well, I'll put it this way. When you start talking about these sorts of things of, can I get sick from this or that? Could I get sick if I participate in a common cup, you know, or the chalice at church? Can I get sick by hanging on to the rail when I'm walking down the stairs? Because who knows who's touched that rail last? Can I get sick if I go to a salad bar in a restaurant? I mean, really, these things are more about probability. I mean, there is no absolute situation where it is going to be so clean that you never have an opportunity to spread some kind of a disease. I think one of the interesting things I heard from the local person who's reporting on the health issue, she said, well, there still is always a chance that you could get sick or that something could be passed on. Well, yeah, there's always a chance. But what kind of a chance? Are we talking 9 out of 10 times you're going to get sick? Are we talking about 1 out of 10 times? Are we talking about 1 out of 1,000 times? What's the probability? That's what this is all about. I know as a pastor, one of the things, one of the great common sense advice that I received from my mentors was wash your hands after every church service. You're going to be shaking every hand on the way out. And then when a parishioner would come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I don't want to get sick from the chalice because I might, you know, I might catch something from someone next to me. And I'd kind of say, do you shake my hand on the way out? Just kind of wondering. Now, obviously, the way I'm talking, you can probably tell I kind of prefer the chalice using the common cup. I always have, and I've always participated that way. When I can, my congregation that I attend here is a great congregation, and I appreciate the pastors, and we don't have a chalice. But I participate, and then I use the individual cups. I think first and foremost, we need to realize and understand, you know, this is a choice that we can make. We can participate in the chalice or the individual cups. Nobody's sinning if you don't use the chalice. You're not going to stop receiving forgiveness of sins. It is no, we're not going to say it is no longer the blood of Christ because you're using the individual cup. No, that's not it at all. No, it's still the forgiveness of sins that is still the blood of Christ, is still the gathering of the entire body of Christ on earth, along with the angels and archangels in heaven, whether you take the chalice or the individual cup. So we don't want to blow this out of proportion. But at the same time, I have to, I'll put it this way in conclusion. There is wisdom in the chalice. Wisdom is not the same thing as a command. There's wisdom in participating in the chalice. The cup was always something that was important in scriptures. The symbolism of the cup, you know, people will say, you know, well, symbolism. Gee, symbolism, is that all there is to it? Well, no, the great thing about the Christian church is that when you, symbolism by itself is meaningless. But symbolism with substance, that's where the power of the Word of God comes in. It is the Word of God that does the work in, with, and under the wine and the bread. And now we have the body and blood of Christ and brings the forgiveness of sins. It is the symbolism of the cup or the chalice. When Christ said the cup, he wanted it to pass from him because he was about to experience the wrath of God. It was about to be poured out upon him. But because he took on that sin, he suffered the wrath of God. That cup of wrath that was poured out upon him becomes the cup of salvation for us. The cup is a very important part thing to us in the church. It's good to have it there, but it's not necessary. When we come back now, we'll be turning to Dr. A.D. Harstead, who the author of the Book of Joshua. That's our book of the month this month, and we'll look forward to you then.
Program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.